and dressage, to name a few. And the last is what my client Lisa competed in. It's a fascinating sport because in other sports like soccer, football, basketball, or golf, you don't have a 1,000-pound horse underneath you detecting every single subtle movement, feeling, or thought you have. If you're not familiar with horses, they're one of the most emotionally mature animals on the planet, which is precisely why they're used in therapy and recovery work for people with PTSD, autism, addiction, and many other mental health-related problems. But it's this hyper-awareness horses have that makes dressage such a challenging sport. Merriam-Webster defines dressage as the execution by a trained horse of precision movements in response to barely perceptible signals from its rider. Think about that for a moment. Precision movements from a 1,000-pound animal with acute emotional abilities coming from barely perceptible signals from its rider, which means a human being. And we all know human beings are far from perfect. Again, it's the only sport where whatever you're emotionally feeling, it's transmuted to the horse. It means that whatever Lisa's emotional state was, her horse would pick up on it and often reflect it in its performance. The problem Lisa battled was extreme nervousness and anxiety before competitions, and this would show itself in her posture. She'd slouch a bit, hunching her shoulders. It also showed up in the amount of pressure she'd hold the reins with. Gripping too tight was like a telephone wire sending a signal straight to the horse that screamed, "I'm not feeling confident right now, and I'm super nervous, so you should be nervous too." Her horse, Ricky Bobby, picked up on everything loud and clear, and he would dance around, his posture would be off, and it affected the scores from the judges. After all, the sport is about precision movements during a predefined routine using subtle signals from the rider. During one of our first conversations, I asked Lisa, who or what represents total control, total confidence, and real poise? After thinking about it for a while, she responded with, Wonder Woman. She went on to tell me how much she loved Wonder Woman growing up and the classic character Linda Carter played on television. She explained the golden lasso and how Wonder Woman descended from a tribe of Amazons who rode to battle on horseback. Lisa had this incredibly strong emotional connection to Wonder Woman. Plus, there was the shared connection to horses, so it became a natural alter ego for her to assume every time she climbed into her saddle. Every superhero has superpowers that help them overcome whatever conflict exists in their worlds. Wonder Woman has powers like super strength, speed, and flight. Spider-Man has intelligence, the ability to cling to walls and ceilings, and the power to zap a spider web from his wrists. Aquaman can control the sea, has super strength, and can breathe underwater. While you won't be leveraging out of this world superpowers like stopping bullets with a wristband, using a golden lasso to force people to tell the truth, or shooting spiderwebs from your wrists, your mind has an incredible power to unlock resources you already possess through an alter ego you can step into. Those bullets being stopped by Wonder Woman could be the bullets of judgment, fear of criticism, or procrastination your alter ego deflects to keep moving forward. Just as superheroes only need and use specific superpowers for their worlds, we only need to use specific superpowers too. The superpowers my alter ego used in business were the powers of confidence, decisiveness, and being articulate. Why? Because they were the very things I was lacking when I started out. They were the qualities needed to win on my field of play. Now, does my dad, who runs a cattle ranch in Canada, need those superpowers? Maybe. But not necessarily. The superpowers I call on to try to be a great father are being playful, adventurous, and funny. Are those the superpowers that you need to use as a parent? Maybe, but not necessarily. That's the beauty of this process. You define the traits. The superpowers you select for your alter ego will be the ones you need the most to ensure you show up as your heroic self on your field of play or during a moment of impact. When we looked at your ordinary world, We looked at how you're showing up and who you are right now. We looked at some of the behaviors, thoughts, emotions, actions, beliefs, values, and other traits that were being pulled. Now it's time to get intentional and to find the traits, the superpowers. You need your alter ego to call upon and use during the moment of impact instead. People will often ask, what comes first, the alter ego or the superpowers? Both and neither. It doesn't matter. Some people know immediately who their alter ego is. If that's the case, then we work back to look at why someone chose a specific alter ego to tease apart all the traits and to deconstruct the alter ego's identity, its behaviors and mannerisms, its skills and capabilities, thoughts and emotions, and beliefs and values about itself and the world. Other times, we start by looking at the superpowers someone wants to call forth in a moment of impact. Say, poise, confidence, and assertiveness. Then we'll search for someone or something that represents those traits, and that becomes the alter ego. There's no right or wrong way. While the book is laid out sequentially, the reality of building an alter ego is it's more akin to entering doorways into the extraordinary world. You can bounce around through the various chapters to find inspiration, which will make the other components finally click for you. Take Zach, for example. He was one of the top collegiate hockey players in the country and now plays in the pros. Like many people, he wanted to dive into creating and using an alter ego ASAP. We blew through the first few steps, never digging into how he was currently performing, what form his enemy took, naming his enemy, or the deeper purpose driving him to build an alter ego. When we first started working together, he was struggling to come up with the puck when battling in the corners. He wanted to fight harder, but he had a bad injury when he was younger when another player checked him from behind, so fear and worry caused him to go into the battle with too much trepidation. When we started talking about how he'd like to battle in the corners, he immediately thought of the Tasmanian Devil, so that's whom he chose as his alter ego. He started taking that mindset out onto the ice and began getting better results. However, it wasn't consistent. So we worked back through all the components of building an alter ego to really allow him to resonate and connect with its deeper purpose. In the end, Zach ended up creating a composite alter ego, much like my football playing one. This book is very much like a choose-your-own-adventure novel, where you control the order. As long as you go through all the doors, chapters, you'll position your alter ego to deliver the most powerful ground punch possible. And in the end, that's all I care about. Building your alter ego's superpowers. When we looked at the ordinary world, we looked at who and how you've been showing up on your field of play. Now we're going to unlock that heroic self by creating an alter ego from the ground up. If you happen to know who or what your alter ego is already, and you know its superpowers, then use the next few pages to hone, refine, and strengthen your alter ego. Prompt 1. Start with the superpowers. Look for adjectives. How do you want your alter ego to show up during your moment of impact? Do you want to be decisive, adaptable, flexible, ambitious, kind, extroverted, calm, bright, brash, tough, courageous, dynamic, easygoing, lovable, boisterous? If you're unsure, try filling in the blank with this question. I wish I was... What or who represents the adjectives you selected? Is there someone you associate confidence with? It could be someone who also is on your field of play. Or maybe it's someone in a different sector, business, or industry whom you admire for their confidence. There's no limit here. There's no right or wrong answer. There's no judgment either on what or whom you choose. All that matters is that you select something or someone that you deeply resonate with. A client of mine, Heidi, used an alter ego that is a cross between the fictional television character MacGyver, who's never met a problem he couldn't solve, and Marie Forleo, a New York City-based entrepreneur who hosts a popular web video show called Marie TV and has a dynamic and creative personality. Julia, whom you met earlier, struggled to be firm with her clients in negotiations. A self-professed people-pleaser, she said yes to everything and everyone, even when it didn't serve her. She wanted to stand her ground, to stand up for herself. Tired of being seen as gentle and soft-spoken, she wanted the ambition and determination she felt to shine. When she first learned about the alter ego, she thought she had to do a 180 with her personality. If she was gentle and soft-spoken, then she needed to roar like a lion. There was just one problem. She didn't feel any emotional resonance with a lion. Actually, she did, but it was negative. She didn't feel like a lion. There's no kindred spirit, and it felt like a stretch. Then she got a birthday card from her husband. On the front was a deer, a stag with horns. She loved deer. In her words, "I'm obsessed." While people litter the Pinterest boards with cats, she has pictures of deer. Her husband also gave her a necklace with an antler on it. My husband said, "You are kind and gentle, and yet so strong." And the combination of all these things really hit home. Julia found her alter ego. It was the stag. Stags stand their ground, yet they're quiet and gentle. You still don't want to mess with one. They're determined and stubborn. She uses her alter ego to help her stand her ground, even in uncomfortable situations. This is the connection you're looking for with whatever you choose. You don't need to construct a massive world or have 18 superpowers. When I created Richard, I used only 3 superpowers: confidence, being decisive, and being articulate. Kizma, an entrepreneur, has 3 superpowers too: being receptive, clear, and open. If you're still getting stuck with the traits you want to possess to help you show up on your field of play as you want, revisit anything you captured back in Chapter 4, Your Ordinary World, and flip the traits holding you back into the opposite. The reason I chose decisive as one of my characteristics was that I was indecisive and procrastinating on the things I knew I needed to do to succeed. You can do the same. Prompt 2. Choose someone or something you admire. The second entry point is to start with someone, something, or an animal you already admire, and to ask yourself, why? What is it about this person, thing, or animal you admire? What traits or superpowers do they possess? If you're drawn toward comic book heroes like Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, Black Panther, Storm, Batwoman, Hulk, Wolverine, or Spider-Man, why? What traits do they have that you admire or appreciate? Maybe you're pulled toward a historical figure like Abraham Lincoln, Joan of Arc, Cleopatra, Winston Churchill, Marie Curie, Copernicus, Malala, Martin Luther King Jr., or Leonardo da Vinci. Why? What traits do they have that you admire or appreciate? Perhaps it's a literary character like Jane Eyre, Harry Potter, Captain Ahab, Nancy Drew, Scarlett O'Hara, Casanova, the Count of Monte Cristo, or even Winnie the Pooh. Yes, really anything goes. Or a fictional character from a movie or television show. Why? What traits do they have that you admire or appreciate? Maybe it's a celebrity, athlete, reporter, writer, director, or politician. Why? Perhaps it's someone in your family, maybe a grandparent, parent, mentor, or teacher. Why? Maybe it's an animal. Why? Again, what traits do they have that you admire or appreciate? Are you drawn to a race car, a truck, a train, a knife, a gadget, a gizmo, or something robotic? If you're telling me you know without a doubt that your alter ego is an engine that never quits, then who am I to argue? It's your world, and you create your alter ego. The key, like with any secret identity you're stepping into, is to have a strong emotional connection with it. Sport is littered with athletes who use machines as an alter ego. NFL running backs Jerome the Bus Bettis and Jay the Train Ajayi are great examples. Both of them loved the idea of putting their teams on their backs and carrying them to victory, or plowing over defenders. A sales rep reached out to me once to tell me he chose a magnet as a part of his alter ego to attract the perfect clients and deals. My trapped self had such a terrible attitude. I felt like everything was just harder for me than others. So I wanted my alter ego to experience less resistance and effort to everything I was doing. Mike the Magnet Murphy was born. You can build an alter ego from any source, like TV or movie character, literary character, cartoon character, superhero, entertainer, historical figure, animal, machine, something abstract, athlete, someone from your life, like family members, teachers, friends, or mentors. For a more exhaustive list, along with the traits associated with different characters, visit altereegoeffect.com/inspiration. Joanne, the lady I mentioned in Chapter 3, was born in England and moved to Australia for a few years when she was 19 years old. She saw this documentary on Tracy Edwards, the British sailor who in 1989 skippered the first all-female crew in the Rip Red round-the-world yacht race. Joanne deeply connected to Tracy, who as a young girl grew up in a poor, landlocked town. There I was, this young girl from Manchester, who is going to Southampton University, where all the great yachtsmen go, where they build boats, and where the men are all proper, and the first thing I did was walk into the club and join. I ended up winning the European Boat Championships twice, but in that moment, I had no idea how to sail, just a determination to learn, like Tracy. I decided to embody Tracy Edwards, this woman who I saw as focused, strong, and who surrounded herself with other strong and empowered women. I had never seen that before. Until watching that documentary, I didn't realize I could be female and successful without having to emulate the men. Marianne, who owns the auto repair shop with her husband, found that she was always drawn to animal prints. When she started playing with an alter ego, she asked herself, why? Why was she drawn to these prints? Animals are pure instinct. They don't have imposter syndrome. They're just strong, and they get done what they have to get done, she explains. Without being aware of this, I gravitated toward that kind of energy. It made me feel more confident and powerful. Prompt 3. It's right in front of you. Is there someone from your past whom you have a connection with or who feels like a kindred spirit? Two of Julia's alter ego's values are adventure and travel. She's drawn to the Austrian Alps, even though she grew up in Germany. Her great-great-great-great-grandfather was an alpine explorer, and there is a museum dedicated to him back in his village. He was a romantic landscape painter, and for geological documentation reasons decided to climb the Austrian Alps to paint a 360-degree panorama. Julia had a chance to tour the museum, and as she looked around, she told me that she realized, sometimes you just have to get out of your own way and accept what's already there. Your alter ego can be a family member who's still living too. It could be a parent or a grandparent, a sibling or cousin, or an aunt or uncle. When you look into your family history, you may be surprised at who you might find and who inspires you to realize what you're made of and where you come from. A CEO I met at a conference told me about his experience after graduating from university. He stepped out into the real world and discovered he was ill-prepared for the challenges of professional life, especially the office politics, the harshness of colleagues, and the anxiety of pitching products to customers who didn't want to hear from him. As someone that isn't a type A personality, I felt like I was going to live 40 years in purgatory if I didn't change something. It was eating me up inside. He went on to tell me about one of his professors who had this dynamic, playful, and passionate approach to his work. Professor Martinez seemed fearless and free, and I took every class I could from him. He was my arm's-length mentor. He didn't know it, but I revered him and watched everything he did. So I decided I would embody the professor and bring him into my work. What surprised the CEO the most through the process was how much more he felt like himself the more he played with the alter ego. I realized I was more than who I was. I always thought of myself as someone that sat back and let others take the lead because it was for those types of people. The strong-willed, the loud, the extroverts. But I found out that I loved being dynamic. I loved being playful and passionate. It felt like I found this alternate universe inside myself. It was freeing. Just like the CEO, you may have had a teacher, coach, or mentor you admired and looked up to. Those relationships can be a great place to draw from too. Picking the best. People often ask what or who makes the best alter ego. Is it a superhero? Is it a movie or television star? Is it a fictional character? And the answer is always the same. The best alter ego is the one you have the deepest emotional connection with. Emotional connection trumps everything. If there's a character that you've loved since you were 15 years old, then it's worth looking into. If there's an actor you've always admired, start there. If there's a mentor or a family member, like a parent, grandparent, aunt, or uncle, go with it. The great benefit of the sources we've just run through is because you had so much contact with them, whether by reading, watching, or interacting with them. You can easily adopt and create the same traits and qualities into your alter ego or secret identity. It's like an alter ego in a box, because the author, movie director, family history, or daily interactions have already created a strong narrative in your mind. Create your own. The final alter ego you can choose is one that's already meaningful to you and you build creatively. This was like my high school and college football days when I merged two of my favorite players. Creating your own takes more mental gymnastics and imagination, but it can also result in a much richer and deeper emotional connection. I jammed Walter Payton, Ronnie Lott, and a tribe of Native American heroes together to create Geronimo. I simply cherry-picked the different attributes and qualities from each person and crafted my secret identity to take onto the field. And for the skinny kid playing on a field with beasts double my size, it worked. Another example is Ted, who lost his confidence after suffering a few setbacks in his business and built his alter ego in a similar way. Ted owns a business that creates custom technology solutions for clients in the software space to reduce the time to market and the overall cost of their products. He grew up playing outdoors and doing chores on his family's farm in Honduras. He immigrated to the United States on a scholarship to the University of Vermont, where he graduated with a degree in electrical and computer engineering. After suffering some setbacks and beginning to lose faith and confidence in himself, he decided to leave this struggling self on the sidelines and step into an alter ego. When Ted was faced with new business opportunities, making sales calls and pitches, he called upon Catracho Spiro. Catracho is a nickname for Hondurans, and Spiro is the word for a spearfishing guide in Honduras. Ted used to go spearfishing all the time and still does occasionally. And when he's seeking new business opportunities, he imagines being in the 60-foot deep water with 13-foot great white sharks circling the waters around him as they often would. Every morning, Catracho Spiro goes out in his boat and swims around the waters full of courage, confidence, and fearlessness, searching for new business opportunities as if he were looking to catch a fish for the day. "Catracho Spiro is focused, mighty, and tough," says Ted. As he explains, when you're out in the ocean diving for fish, you have minimal resources and just one breath at a time to dive under, to quickly harness the opportunity for a score. You're looking to spear a bluefin tuna, a halibut, or large lobster. But you're not the only one seeking prey out there. Big great white sharks scour the depths of the waters beside you, threatening to take not only your opportunity away from you, but also your entire business. The goal each day is to capture an opportunity and carry it safely to your boat. "I struggled to get through my fear and my weaknesses," says Ted. "But I become Catracho Spiro when I give presentations, when I attend meetups, or when I feel uncomfortable with a new project or task. Catracho Spiro says, 'I've been in worse situations before. I just need to load my gun, dive, and take the opportunity when I see it. As long as I step out onto the field of play, something will stick, and it's going to stick big time.'" What makes Catracho Spiro a strong alter ego is that, first, Ted is already passionate about the outdoors and spearfishing. So bam, immediately he's connected to the traits and abilities it takes to succeed in those environments, and he has a deep connection to them. Then he's added the connection to his homeland, Honduras, with the nickname Catracho, which has a deeply meaningful emotional connection to him. It's where he's from. His family still lives there, and he's a proud Honduran. Bam, another deep emotional connection and reverence to honor and use to bring pride to his family of origin and tribe. Like I said earlier in this chapter, there are multiple ways to find your alter ego. Throughout this chapter, I was prompting you with trying to build your alter ego by identifying the traits and abilities you'd most want to display on your field of play to help you create an extraordinary world. Here are some additional questions you can use to uncover those traits. What are the qualities you admire about other people on your field of play? The people exceptional on your field of play have what qualities? If you were prolific at what you do, how would you think about yourself? What attitudes would you have about business, your skills in business? What beliefs would you have? How would you carry yourself physically? If it were 1 year from today and your identity had been completely altered because of your commitment to your alter ego, what would your most supportive best friends say are the top three things they are astounded with in regard to your transformation? What would they be constantly telling other people about your transformation and new results? When you look back at what you wrote in the Ordinary World section, what are the opposites of all those weaknesses or perceived negative attributes you listed? What are the traits, abilities, attitudes, beliefs, values, and behaviors you possess to defeat the enemy trying to stop you? Go through the following list of character traits in the enhancement and circle or note which ones you already possess. Then go through and underline or note 5 to 10 traits your new alter ego or identity is going to possess as well. After you've selected 5 to 10 character traits that would define your alter ego or new identity, how would you exhibit or demonstrate those qualities? For example, if you chose powerful, how would you show up in business as powerful? What does that look like to someone else? What does that feel like to you? What would you sound like to other people? What are the attitudes you have about yourself, business, that would cause you to be more powerful? Do you have an example of someone you already perceive to be powerful? How do they act, speak, or think? Use any or all of these questions to bring out the core qualities of your alter ego. Another way to go through the exercise and a powerful mindset shift would be to answer those questions as your alter ego. If you chose Superman, Wonder Woman, Indiana Jones, Oprah Winfrey, your grandma, Muhammad Ali, Winnie the Pooh, Mr. Rogers, Dora the Explorer, Abraham Lincoln, Ellen DeGeneres, I could go on. Answering the questions as your alter ego can release a new level of creativity, awareness, and imagination to what's possible. As I've said throughout this book, there aren't many rules to this. Finding your secret identity is a personal process. Use the one right for you. Remember the all-time great athlete Bo Jackson and the story I shared at the very beginning of this book. His alter ego was Jason from the Friday the 13th horror movie series. To the average person, that sounds completely insane, except his alter ego isn't based on what others think. It's the meaning he pulled from the character, who was unemotional and relentless, the two things Jackson needed to battle his internal enemy of uncontrollable anger. Thinking through those questions and sinking your proverbial teeth into them will grow your ability to make a tremendous impact on your extraordinary world. Make it happen. Naming your alter ego. For some people, their alter ego's name is obvious. If you've chosen a fictional character or someone from real life, then you're going to use that person's name most likely. If you chose an animal, or if you went into the lab to carefully construct your own alter ego after being inspired by the superpowers of a few, then you're going to need to give it a name. Why? For the very reason we name the enemy. Names give shape and form to something. We walk around with names, right? We don't shout, "Hey man, come here," or "Hey guy with no hair on his head and a tattoo on his right forearm." A name encompasses all the superpowers and traits and gives your alter ego a real identity. You can pick something like Ted did with Catracho Spiro, or you can create one like Alonto did. You might recall Alonto from earlier and his alter ego, Big Wave. Alonto and his wife run a marketing company. Born in the Philippines, Alonto immigrated to the United States when he was 12 and went into officer candidate school in the military, going on to serve in the U.S. Navy for 8 years before working as an aerospace engineer. Before starting his business, Alonto had never given a public speech, never gave public presentations, and never billed himself as a speaker. But now he was being asked to speak before live audiences with as many as 700 people in attendance. Alonto's alter ego, Big Wave, lives at the side of the stage waiting to be called forth. Big Wave is one of my favorite alter ego names for a few reasons. First, Alonto is a Pacific Islander from the Philippines. And in his words, he's always gravitated towards the island explorer lifestyle. Emotional resonance? Check. Big Wave is inspired by The Rock's character Maui, a demigod who helps the heroine Moana in the Disney movie Moana. That's my persona when it comes to the alter ego, Alonto explains. A lot of it's heritage. A lot of it's the island background. But there's just something about that character that resonates in me. It's someone that fires me up when it comes to thinking about my alter ego. Emotional resonance again? Check, check. Big Wave is a unique alter ego name for a few reasons. One, Alonto has a strong emotional connection to the sea and the island lifestyle. Two, the name holds a cultural significance for Alonto, and it's tied to his family and where he was born and raised. Three, as we talked about earlier, the alter ego helps us reach the flow state. Big Wave and flow go exceptionally well together. It's a cool play on words and creates an image connected to flow. So it's like another trigger for Alonto's mind that says it wants to get into the flow state. Megastar Beyoncé Knowles used the name Sasha Fierce to step into her alter ego on stage. As a young girl, growing up in a religious family and singing gospel in the choir at church every Sunday, she started out performing in a conservative and modest environment. Last time I checked, there weren't a lot of short skirts and provocative movements at the front of a church. So when she started her pop singing career and was asked to perform dance routines and sing provocative lyrics, it only made sense that it would compete with her existing identity. Creating an alter ego to more freely express her creative impulses was a natural part of the process. And I love her use of the name Fierce. It has attitude, which I'm sure she needed in the beginning to express this new identity and be intentional about who is going to show up on that field of play. And it's pretty hard to argue with her success. Superstar basketball player Kobe Bryant chose Black Mamba as his alter ego on the court. Why? In an interview with The New Yorker, Kobe says that he got the idea for the nickname from Quentin Tarantino's film Kill Bill, in which the snake, known for its agility and aggressiveness, was used as a code name for a deadly assassin. I read up on the animal and said, "Wow, this is pretty awesome," Bryant recalled. "This is a perfect description of how I would want my game to be." The inspiration for your alter ego's name can come in many forms, but here's what I know. It typically evolves over time. So don't concern yourself with getting it perfect. Just like when you named your pet for the first time, their name probably evolved over time into a nickname. When you're choosing your alter ego's name, keep in mind that you'll want to have an emotional connection to it. Just like Alonto, Kobe, Joanna, Beyoncé, and me. It should also connect to the superpowers you'll need to perform on your field of play, and will act as another trigger reminding you of what you want to tap into during those moments of impact. Here are a few ideas to help kickstart your imagination. A. If you've decided to combine two or more sources of inspiration, you can combine their names, like Black Wonder, a combination of Black Panther and Wonder Woman. Buddha Man, combination of the Buddha and Superman. Napoleon Patton, Napoleon Bonaparte and General George S. Patton. Mess Aldo, Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. Grandma Bear, your grandma and a bear. Sonic Bond, Sonic the Hedgehog and James Bond. B. Give your alter ego a title like King, Lord, Queen, General, Commander, Princess, Master, Wizard, Champion, Expert, etc. And then you could possibly add in your name or add in the name of your field of play or the main characteristic you'd like to display or the activity slash item you're trying to master. Commander of the Court. Insert title of the field of play. Joanna, Queen of the Boardroom. Insert name and insert title of the field of play. Matthew, Lord of the Strings. Insert name. Insert title of the insert activity item you're trying to master. Susan, Queen of the Clothes. Insert name. Insert title of the insert activity item you're trying to master. Taylor the Unstoppable. Insert name, then insert the characteristic. C. Simply give your alter ego the name of the animal or object you may have chosen and add in your name. The Black Mamba, or Kobe the Black Mamba Bryant. The Lion, or Carrie the Lion Herman. The Great White, or Keith the Great White Krantz. The Rock, or Dwayne the Rock Johnson. D. Create a fictional name as a secret identity and then add in an adjective that would describe how you'd like to approach your field of play, like Beyoncé did with Sasha Fierce. Tracy Tuff, Jackie Calm, Michael Sharp, Kenny Courage, Witty Winona. E. Take a superhero or character you're inspired by and add it in front of or behind your own name or the profession slash role you're in, like Tasmanian Zack. Editor Bond, profession plus James Bond. Michelle Lennon, your own name plus John Lennon. Incredible Baller, Incredible Hulk plus the role, basketball player. Sally Winfrey, your own name plus Oprah Winfrey. Winston Marshall, Winston Churchill plus your own name. There aren't any rules to this, so just pick a name and start running with it. This part of the alter ego effect is one of my absolute favorites in the process because it gets your imagination going and empowers you to create your extraordinary world. It's also the point where you're in the lab creating the secret identity to battle the forces of the enemy trying to pull you into the ordinary world. Now we're going to begin the process of adding even more depth, strength, and potency to your secret identity by building an origin story. Let's get started. Chapter 12. Breathing life into your alter ego. Adolescence is tough. Beyond the fact that hormones are raging and that trying to tame emotions is like stopping a crash of rhinos, seeing other kids grow faster than you is hard, especially when you're an athlete trying to compete for starting roles. Connecticut is a baseball-crazy state. It's a part of the tri-state area that centers on New York City, where millions of people live and commute to. Most of the time, you'll find Yankees fans in the area, with the token Mets fans, and even more rare, Red Sox fans. Okay, there are a lot of Mets fans, they just don't admit it. Tim was no different. He lived and breathed the Yankees. He was a rare kid, an 11-year-old with a ton of maturity and leadership skills he could bottle, sell, and make a fortune with. I liked Tim because he was small, gritty, and never quit. For the past decade, I've taken a handful of young athletes under my wing and mentored them for free. They apply, write an essay, and take an assessment to jump through the hoops to show me who's serious enough to put in the effort. Tim was one of them, and we worked together for years. For the first couple of years, he made it easy for me. He did his work, built his routines, and started to build a strong mental game foundation. But cracks eventually began to show up. During one of our regular Skype calls, he wasn't his usual upbeat, positive self. At first, he just chalked it up to having a tough time at the plate. "I'm just not making good contact," he'd say. We'd work on visualization and imagery techniques, but they weren't helping. Finally, one day he came back from a tournament in Georgia, where he had a weak performance. He threw out an offhanded comment. "Man, you should have seen how big the guys were down there. They looked like men. I couldn't hit them." Now, for most people, that may just come across as an observation and a teenage thing to say when everyone is racing through puberty at different speeds. But it was the way he said, "I couldn't hit them." "What do you mean?" I said. "These guys are getting bigger and bigger. Sometimes I'd go up to the plate and I'd barely make it up to their chest. Half the guys are growing beards." "Tim, is that what you're thinking when you're walking up to the plate?" "A lot of the time. Unless someone is pitching that's smaller like me, then I'm fine. But Dad has even started to notice it's getting in my head, and yells from the bleachers all the time to just focus on your swing. He never used to do it, but now that I'm in a slump, he coaches more, and all it does is make me overthink everything. Is that how you see yourself now, Tim? Smaller and weaker than the other players? Just because they're taller or weigh more? He stuttered and stammered, not wanting to admit it, until he finally said, "Well, it's hard not to." Tim had gone from this super confident ball player to forgetting that the game was about more than just how big you were. There was skill, technique, and strategy. But once he lost his confidence, he lost his skills. Instead of trying to get Tim to believe in himself again and stop focusing on the size of all the other players, it was a perfect opportunity to create a new version of himself, an alter ego that would be a giant. Tim, have you ever heard of Paul Bunyan? No, I don't think so. Okay, I want you to find out about him and then call me tomorrow after school, I said. He was a little confused because I wasn't helping him solve his problem like we'd usually do. So we're done? Yeah, talk to you tomorrow. The next day he called at 4 o'clock sharp and filled me in on the great Paul Bunyan. He went on to tell me Bunyan came from old North American folktales and was a 94-foot-tall lumberjack who helped out the settlers in early America. He was super strong, super fast, and really good at swinging his axe, Tim said. He also said he found some research that said his last name originated from Bonyan in Canadian French, which means surprise and astonishment. He's basically a really good, really big guy that knows how to make things happen. Awesome, I said. Remember when we talked about alter egos in the past? Yes. Well, what if you walked up to the plate as Paul Bunyan? What would Paul Bunyan think about the pitcher on the mound? Would Paul Bunyan be worried about any of the same things you are? He has an axe that can knock down a massive tree with one swing. Do you think he could smack a ball out of a ballpark? The great thing about working with youngsters is that they're not many years removed from the days when they played make-believe. They let their imaginations run wild with ideas. I could see Tim shift his body language on my computer screen and begin to look more like his old self. We went back and forth talking more and more about how he could use Paul Bunyan and leave small Tim on the sidelines. "So I can just let Paul take over?" he asked. "Why not? You've already let someone else take over your swing and your mindset, so why not try someone else?" I responded. He was game for it. Just as we looked at all the ways you're currently showing up in your ordinary world, the behaviors, thoughts, emotions, and traits, you want to identify how your alter ego will show up in your extraordinary world. There are many ways we can make this happen. If you already have an alter ego or secret identity in mind, then use the layers in this chapter to refine and complete its identity. If you don't have an alter ego yet, no problem. You'll be able to create your alter ego from the ground up, and then in the following chapters possibly find a source of inspiration that also has those qualities. Or not. There aren't any rules to this. You could create a completely new and unique alter ego without any inspiration from the sources we've already listed. I spoke to a lady once who wanted to be a good cook very badly, but didn't feel like it was her thing. I love the creativity of it, but I think you either have it or you don't. Without getting into a therapy session with her, because I could sense her hesitance came from someone telling her she was terrible, plus I'm completely unqualified to do therapy, I suggested she start taking famous chef Julia Child into the kitchen and see what happens. She'd already told me she loved her, so why not use her? I asked. She thought for a moment and dismissed it as a fun idea, but thought it probably wasn't for her. That isn't quite the end of the story, but I'll come back to it later. In the previous chapter, we started to skim the surface of uncovering your alter ego and defining its superpowers. In this chapter, we're going to dig a little deeper and add more depth to it. The more vivid you can make it, the better the chance you'll show up on the field of play and win. When I was struggling and just starting out my business and began to use Richard as my alter ego, I didn't have to pause and think about how I wanted to behave. I didn't think about what Richard's thoughts, emotions, beliefs and values were. I didn't have to think about being worried and fearful as Todd. I knew how Richard would show up because of the inspirations I was pulling from. If you already have an idea of someone or something you'd like to embody as your alter ego, then you can do one of two things with the following exercises. One, answer the questions as you'd see the alter ego showing up on the field of play. This is called the observer technique. You're simply watching or imagining what they would do, say, think, or feel. The second option is to go through the exercises as if you are the alter ego. This is the immersion technique. You're thinking through the questions as your alter ego. This is a great training ground for getting you to play with your alter ego. Something else that has helped a lot of other people with this process, just like Tim, is to read interviews your alter ego has given and to watch videos of your alter ego to observe their behaviors and mannerisms. If it's a fictional character from books, you'll want to read the books. If it's an animal, find out more about the animal and its hero qualities. For example, if you chose Oprah, immerse yourself in her world. Details are when the imagination comes alive. So to help you get started, let's start working through the layers of the alter ego effect model. Layer 1, how you show up. Skills, knowledge, behaviors, actions, and reactions. What abilities, knowledge, behaviors, actions, or reactions do you want your alter ego to possess? This could be your ability to control a room with your presence, or the ability to articulate a point in a succinct and charismatic way. One of my clients was resistant to learning about finances, but when you're running a $1 million business, that's a severe handicap. After all, business is a game that's kept score with numbers. So instead of developing the skill, he never wanted to look at what was coming in and what was going out, or his cash flow. He could have other people manage and handle his business's money, for sure. But as an owner or executive, if you push the financial reality off entirely, it limits your abilities to win big. Win big with negotiations. Win big with your profits. And win big with you understanding your path to growth. At some point, you'll get taken advantage of. You'll enter a bad deal, or you'll negotiate poor terms. My client had a strong presence in his field, but his business was on life support. We didn't tear apart why he didn't like numbers, which I knew stemmed from some deep-rooted belief in his relationship with money. He had come from a family that didn't have much. So instead, we set up Financial Fridays, the day that finances would get taken care of, including all financial meetings. And instead of him showing up for those meetings, his alter ego, who loved finances and was diligent with the details and numbers, showed up. When we walked through your ordinary world, we looked at some of your current actions and behaviors and the results you've been getting on your field of play. Now, we want to look at how your alter ego will perform on the field of play in that moment of impact. What are your actions and behaviors? For example, in negotiations, leaning forward may indicate an aggressive stance, while leaning back can signal indifference. If you're talking clearly and calmly, then that can signal you're confident and in control. Is one behavior or personality trait better than the other? Not really. It just depends on your intent. What matters is how you want your alter ego to show up. If you want your alter ego to talk quietly and calmly and with an air of authority, then that's how you'll want your alter ego to show up. If you want your alter ego to have the superpower of excitement and liveliness and eagerness, then that's how they'll show up. Of course, this can be primarily influenced by the source or inspiration for your alter ego. Elon Musk would behave differently in a job interview than Abraham Lincoln, Ellen DeGeneres, Simon Cowell, Barack Obama, or Oprah. What are the behaviors that your alter ego embodies? How will it act? Will its posture change? Will it hold its head differently? Will your facial expressions change? I have an athlete in the NBA who has a slight squint in his eyes when he's facing off with an opponent. It's there to shut his mouth so he doesn't talk trash. He stares at them for long stretches of time until they break the gaze. He wants to make them uncomfortable. Think about the physical mannerisms your alter ego may have. This isn't a must, but some people use them as a way to anchor into their alter ego. A physical mannerism can be a manifestation of a positive attribute. For example, Cary Grant had a certain way he held his whiskey glass that made him feel more refined. If refined was the attribute he wanted, then this was his way of acting that way. If someone says something to you in a meeting and you typically shoot from the hip and fire a response only to regret it later, will your alter ego simply pause and calmly respond with a, "Let me think about it," or, "That's interesting," or, "Let me check my calendar and get back to you"? If someone asks a question during a meeting and you never raise your hand, will your alter ego lean in and speak up instead? If you need to, think back on the old actions you were taking during your moments of impact in your ordinary world. Then think about the new action you want your alter ego to take. Or, if you already know who or what you'll be borrowing your alter ego from, what do some of their mannerisms look like? You can also consider other physical qualities, such as, what would your alter ego look like? When I asked an entrepreneur what other successful entrepreneurs looked like, he told me they're well-dressed with a tailored look. That's not the image I picture, and I know quite a few successful entrepreneurs who dress in jeans or shorts and t-shirts. But my opinion holds zero weight. My client was creating his world, and in his world, entrepreneurs dress in style. In your world, how does your alter ego dress? Is there a specific article of clothing, like a hat or scarf it wears? Is there a style of dress you quickly associate with your alter ego? Years ago, I was flipping through a magazine while sitting at an airport terminal, and I saw a picture of four men in tuxedos. One man caught my eye. His suit jacket sleeves were hemmed about 2 inches shorter than the other man's, and it was striking how much he stood out. I liked it, so I adopted it too. Who was the man? Frank Sinatra. When I looked at Sinatra in his suit, I saw confidence and style. Think about your alter ego's presence. How do they carry themselves in a room? Mark Cuban, the outspoken entrepreneur, owner of the Dallas Mavericks basketball team, and one of the stars of the television show Shark Tank, tends to sit back in his chair on the show in a very relaxed pose. Sometimes he'll lean forward when he's interested in someone's idea. Daniel Craig, when he plays James Bond, has a pronounced swagger with his shoulders when he walks. The accompanying enhancement includes a helpful list of possible attributes you could tap into. Layer 2, who you are. Attitudes, beliefs, values, perceptions, and expectations. At this level, you want to dig into that space where attitudes, beliefs, values, perceptions, and expectations rest. My alter ego believes, fill in the blank. My alter ego believes he's an engaging writer who draws people into all his stories and readers are excited about everything he creates. My alter ego believes she's a powerful presenter on the stage. Her mere presence captivates and moves an audience. Now, what about changing up the word believes with knows? Reread those sentences with this simple substitution. My alter ego knows she's a powerful presenter on the stage. Her mere presence captivates and moves an audience. See, there's a big difference between knowing and believing. I want you to know you're great. Brian works for a massive insurance company, and while he had great ideas, he never spoke up. He classified himself an introvert and often felt intimidated by type A people in board meetings, which was more a result of a bullying older brother. His alter ego, however, was Mr. Fantastic from the Fantastic Four. His alter ego wasn't just about changing his behaviors, it was about changing the thoughts. "I've got brilliant ideas to share and everyone wants to hear them." Brian's alter ego, the brilliant scientist Reed Richards, would never have the thought that he shouldn't share his ideas. What does your alter ego believe about themselves? Or know about themselves? What do they believe about the field of play they're standing on? As you're thinking about your alter ego, think about what it would believe about itself, and then about the world, which might include other people. If you're in a meeting with possible clients or trying to close a sale, what would they be thinking about the alter ego? They can't wait for the chance to work with me, your alter ego would believe. The audience absolutely wants to hear me speak, your alter ego would think right before it went on stage. Sitting in a room with Oprah, you'd be thinking different things about her than you would about a lion, or Lincoln, or Malala. You can also consider your alter ego's values. There are hundreds of values that may or may not serve you on your field of play. Fairness, justice, wealth, joy, family, friendships, loyalty, and power are examples of values that may help or hinder your alter ego, depending on how you need it to show up during your moment of impact. This is a judgment-free zone. There are no good or bad values, just values that help you perform and those that hold you back. Power is a value. Sometimes it's healthy, and other times, valuing too much of it leaves you alone and isolated. You can also consider what thoughts your alter ego will have. If you aren't sure, try this. What thoughts will your alter ego never have? If you read through the Ordinary World chapters and you realize you currently show up thinking, I can't pitch investors and get them to close, then your alter ego is going to think, I pitch investors and get them to agree to our deals all the time. Once again, remember, all of these questions, layers, and examples aren't 100% prerequisites to using the alter ego effect and benefiting from it. Most likely, you've already used something similar at some point in your life. Now I'm just handing you the keys to a more robust system. Just as many streets and avenues lead to the center of town, there are many ways to help you connect to this concept. Use it and lead your heroic self onto the field of play. The package. One evening, about 6 weeks after the conversation with the aspiring cook who wanted to find her inner Julia child, I came home to a package waiting for me. I didn't recognize the name on the package, but I opened it to see what was inside. After I peeled open the cardboard box, I discovered a beautifully wrapped gift box with a note card attached. I pulled the note off the ribbon it was clinging to, and it read, "You were right. Julia." The box was filled with some of the absolute best chocolate brownies I've ever had. And I only wish I got the idea earlier to tell people to tap into their inner Julia child. More exercises to build your alter ego. These exercises are a collection of some I've used with clients in the past to help them get greater clarity with their alter ego. Try one, try them all. Possibly something else will click for you. Exercise one. Relax yourself and imagine watching your character growing up from birth until now. What shaped them? What do they do differently from you? How do they look? How do they speak? What words or phrases do they use? What feelings do they have? What skills and capabilities do they possess? Exercise 2. Imagine yourself in a lab creating this alter ego. What are you adding? What are you taking away? One of my clients did this exercise by imagining it was his twin brother and they were separated at birth. His brother was stuck in a black hole of wisdom and learned all the highest level skills of his sport. My client tapped into his alter ego when he wanted to show up on the playing field as a source of infinite wisdom. Exercise 3. Write out a full conversation between you and the alter ego. I had one client pretend she was stuck in an elevator with her alter ego, and they had no one else to talk to but each other. I had her imagine asking her alter ego how her mind worked before a competition. What do they think of competitors? Or is the alter ego so confident that they don't even care or think about the competitors? Did the alter ego worry about anything? What were they striving for? She observed the alter ego. What did she look like? How did she hold herself? How did she move? What expressions did she have? Then I asked her how she would describe the alter ego to a friend after they escaped from the elevator. In a speech given to the Stanford Graduate School of Business in 2014, Oprah Winfrey was inspiring graduates to find purpose and meaning in their work. She encouraged them to find allies to help them in hard times as her best friend, Gail King, Stedman Graham, and others have done for her. But she also said something quite profound when discussing the source of her power. I come as one, I stand as 10,000. When I walk into a room, I will literally sit and call on that 10,000. She was paraphrasing Our Grandmothers, a poem from Maya Angelou. And the source of that power she was explaining, you'll find in the next chapter. Chapter 13, The Heroic Origin Story. Imagine you're sitting at an outside cafe, sipping on a cappuccino, tea or whatever your taste buds were craving, and you see a frantic old man running down the street chasing a purple balloon. What would you be thinking?